When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to Indeed, the Independent Wrestling Podcast. I'm Mike. That's Reg. That was our intro this week. We don't have a guest, but some crazy shit happened over the weekend. We're going to talk about it. But in the meantime, what's up, Reg? How are you doing?
I'm exhausted. I don't know. I never know what day it is. I never know what time it is. I'm just like, if I didn't have podcasts that were on a schedule, I'd be on whatever day there is. But I do have podcasts, so I know that it's Wednesday. It's 3 p.m. in Oakland, California. It's a warm one outside. And it's Righteous Reg, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster, media man, the original, the one and only. And I'm very excited to be here. You see what's going on here, Mike? People just grab my gimmick and just like use it. Like a world champion is just like, that's mine. Can you do that?
I guess technically he can because he did, but you know, I think at the very least he should like have like a title for gimmick match with you.
Something like, can I get like some kind of, I could fight for it or like
something like, I believe like at the very least, if he's going to steal your gimmick, he should at least, you know, give you some love, give you some, you know, some,
shout me out, some,
yeah, royalties? Something,
a shirt or Jeez. Something.
Yeah. Yeah. A shirt. There we go. Send him a shirt.
I'll take a shirt.
There we go. Yeah, but it's Indeed, and we are, we're guestless for the first time in, like...
Has it been a year?
It has to be close to a year. I'm pretty sure the last time we didn't... I don't even know.
It's been a long time. I can't even remember.
Like, we've had episodes where people didn't, like, stay for a full hour, but we haven't had one where there was nobody here in a hot minute, but, yeah, there was, I don't know. I know I had a very busy weekend, a busy week. Today's been an interesting day. I came out today. That was pretty dope. June's been like a weird month for me because, you know, like we did some stuff for Black History Month. We did some stuff for Women's History Month. And then like every year when June comes around, I've been like, yeah, but also like, not able to like put my full like, you know, fist pump into it because like there's a part of me that's always been like, but I'm still kind of, you know, hiding.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so to celebrate Pride Month on Indeed, we're going to kick it off by me just being proud of myself for the first time in my life, really, actually. That's how we're going to start this week's episode.
Proud of you too, bro. It takes, you know, a lot to do that, especially on the internet with how crazy people are. But that's great. We have so many inspiring guests that we talk to and talk about their journey that I'm happy that you got to get to their place, because we've legit talked to so many wrestlers that have told us stories of being fearful, but are, you know, outside and as happy and as proud as they can be. And they're some of the best people that I've ever interacted with. So I'm happy that you've gotten to this place.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been entirely positive today. So that's been really cool.
We're at a horrible point in the world of society, but we're also at a really great point from where we used to be, you know?
It makes me feel good, at least, about the decisions I've made about who I surround myself with in life. Because, like,
it's also a thing.
You know, if I was surrounding myself with shit people, I'd have probably had some people go, "Oh, what the fuck?"
1,000%. Yeah.
Exactly. None of that. And then, you know, like, I tweeted about.
We don't play that.
I tweeted about this earlier, but probably the, you know, biggest. Nobody can tell me nothing. Because I talked to my daughter about it today. Who's she'll be 13 in a week, but you know. The long and short of that was she was like, "I'm proud of you, Dad. I love you. That's so brave of you." So I'm cool. Like, fuck, that rules, because one, like, it feels good, you know, for me.
Yep.
But then, like, two, I'm also like, as a dad, I'm like, oh good, I'm a good parent. I have not raised a piece of shit.
Like, setting a good example, as they say.
Yeah, she's like, oh, okay. Like
we can do these things. There's more than just what society presents to us.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look at that. She's got, like, love and acceptance in her heart. It's crazy. It's totally in, like, you know, what you teach your children. And
she's just, like, at school, like, my stoner dad, he's all types of things.
Ooh, she's, it's funny that she
smells weirdo. Every time I walk by his room, it smells so weird, you guys.
Yeah, just, it's like he's got a pet skunk in there or something. It's fucking crazy. It's so weird.
It smells so weird. What is that?
Worst cologne.
No, but that's great though, man. What a day. What a month. I was thinking, like, talking what we're going to talk about today, we could have had Effie join, but that would have just been a little too cliche, I think, you know?
Yeah. I was like, I'm absolutely certain I would like to, you know, definitely speak to some other members of the LGBTQ community this month on the show. But in the meantime, I'm just being happy to be me today. And there was some crazy shit that happened this weekend anyway. I don't know, like, what did you get up to anything, like, grass touching wise in the real world wrestling wise this weekend?
No, I went in May. I did 3 weekends of wrestling. I went to Ontario for the New Japan show. Then the next weekend I had the West Coast Pro show. And then the next weekend I had the AEW stuff. So I was like, I got to take a break, you guys. I can't get into it. This weekend, though, before we get into GCW talk, our friend of the show, Jay Rose, is going to be announcing at promotion friend of the show, Hood Slam. So I think on Friday, I'll be stepping out there. My friends in Oakland, like, yo, what's up, my friend? So I'm excited about that.
Jay Rose is ring announcing Hood Slam this week?
Yeah.
That rules.
Isn't that so cool? Isn't that so perfect? It's like, this feels like it should be a regular thing, honestly. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a... like, you know, perfect voice and personality, and just like all the fun that he brings to ring announcing is like
perfect.
Hood Slam is the best environment for to showcase that, I think.
That's, so when they announced that, I was like, oh yeah, of course, like Jay Rose fits in like a glove.
I watch their replays a lot. I try to watch them live, but like a lot of the times now the sleep monster comes for me.
Show start late.
Yeah, but I've been like, well, in the East Coast time especially, you know, but it is what it is, you know. When I was on my nocturnal schedule, it was great. I was like, hey, I'm awake, I can watch totally. Hood Slam
anytime. Japanese wrestling, whatever.
Oh my god, it was so nice to be like nocturnal when there was some like New Japan shows, and right. I ended up getting Wrestle Universe. I watched some like Noah and DDT and shit, so exactly. I was like, I'm awake. I actually you know, speaking of West Coast Pro, I did, I watched, I can't remember what the name of the show was, but I watched some of it live and I saw like Charlie and Titus wrestling on a Noah show. And I was like watching the show live at like,
oh, sick. Like, how was that?
I was watching like 3-4 in the morning and I was just like, they were tagging together on this big, it was like a bigger event for them too. I can't remember. I don't know all the names of the shows.
It's like, me neither. Yeah.
Carnival or something, or I don't know, but, It was awesome. They won, and I was like, "Hey, picking up a win on the big Noah show." Okay.
Both of them look really comfortable out there in Japan. Huh? They look like they this is where we belong. I'm like, "All right, you guys, this is awesome."
Well, you know, and I think you know you could circle that also back to the partnership with Marvelous and a lot of
preparation.
You know, like there's they get to go train over at the Marvelous Dojo in Japan when they're there. But then also, even in America, you know, the amount of times that Chigusa Nagayo is over and then, you know, she's bringing students and like, you know, her trainees and stuff over and, you know, they're working on West Coast Pro shows. So like there's that whole like integration of like international styles.
Totally.
Between West Coast Pro and Marvelous, where they're like both of their rosters and schools are kind of getting like that. You know, shared experience, you know, and I'm sure it benefits, you know, the talent over in Marvelous as well from getting like that more North American indie style of, you know, wrestling with them. But then, but yeah, for Charlie and Titus, when they actually, you know, they're there on the Noah show and it's like, yeah, you've been, you seem like you just been in Noah.
Yeah, exactly. I think exactly what you're saying, that preparation of them, not only that, they're bigger independent stars, so they're wrestling around the country and they're interacting with the Japanese stars that come over here, like when Mao came over and was tearing it up with all the American stars and guys like that, that like before they even got to Japan, they're already kind of comfortable with what to expect there, what style is. So when they get on a big Noah show, it's just like, oh yeah, this is just a wrestling show, which is amazing because they're still so early in their career. Titus is they're both so on their way, but like Titus is so ready, man. He's like on offense and defense is amazing. Like every time I see him bump and sell, I'm like, dude, Titus is crazy. Like I've made this comparison before, but it's like 2002 AJ Styles. If you guys know, that is Titus Alexander to the key. Looks like him, works like him, moves like him, bumps like him, but with his own style to it. And it's like, that guy was everything to me in 2002. And for Titus to kind of represent that and excel even farther than that, since he's been in Japan back and forth, the last time the West Coast Pro Show against Marufuji, oh my God, amazing match. Like Titus was so comfortable. Like he's always comfortable because it's West Coast Pro, it's just home, but like even more comfortable against a Japanese legend, one of the best ever, that it felt like, oh, Titus could be in Noah, could be in All Japan, could be in New Japan, thrown in right now, and it wouldn't be culture shock at all. He'd be one of the best guys in attendance. So that guy needs a contract. I don't really understand what's going on here. I know there's a lot. There's a lot of space. There's a lot of time. But, like, Titus is ready.
Yeah. Also, like, again, it's such a cool story for him, too, because it's like he, by all rights, could have, like, you know, he was on his track. He was on track to, you know, probably having some kind of football career as it was. And then, like, just get an injury forcing him out of football and, like, pivoted to wrestling. And the way that he's excelled in wrestling in such a short amount of time, it's like, you're pretty much born, you know, it's like, you seem just destined for this. It's crazy.
Honestly, every time I hear that story, it's so crazy because Kevin Nash kind of has the same stories. Like he was a basketball star, then he hurt his knee, and then he got into wrestling. It's like, you go in, you get an injury, and then you get into wrestling. Just sounds weird as a concept, but that's like the thing for hundreds of wrestlers at this point of like, oh, I thought I was going to be a football or basketball or baseball star, but I broke my leg or I hurt my leg, and now I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world. And it's like, all right, I guess that's the transition over here. So lucky us to get to experience stuff like that. But I mean, when you say it's you're, he's destined, it's so funny. At last West Coast Pro show, his family's always in attendance, Big Ugly, his dad, his brother there, who's like a carbon copy of Titus. So when you see him, like, wait, Titus, but he's like shorter and looks, you could tell he's, you know, his brother. And so it's like, he always has that family thing of like, you knew he was going to be
the football thing was probably he was good at that because he can move. He's really athletic. But like wrestling, he was it was his calling. Like there was no way he was going to go his whole life not being Titus Alexander, the pro wrestler. You could just see it when you talk to him, still super humble and like excited to be in any position that he's in. Contract, AEW specifically, give it to him.
And also, like, for him getting around the, you know, the country and stuff, I was fortunate enough. I got to see his Canadian debut back
in
December against Junior Benito. Yep. He's coming back to the East Coast. They don't have his match announced, but, like, ETU has a show at the end of July, Summer Madness 2. And he's, like, front and center on the poster for that. So, imagining he'll have a big match of some kind there. That whole show looks so silly. Have you seen who's on this ETU show?
I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I heard about Titus and I was like, oh, that's fire.
They got Titus, obviously Marcus Mathers, the champion, Jhenny Kai, Hyann, Mike Santana, Matt Mikowski, Josh Bishop, Yo-Yo, Braden Toon, Brandon Kirk, Jay Bougie, Pretty Boy Smooth.
Yeah, all of them are heavy hitters.
Insane.
I'm happy to see Matt Mikowski back. We need to maybe try to get him on this pod.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love He's that. Sick.
I don't like a lot of those, like,
Miss Mao and Chris Brooks in the US. Yeah, did they change? I'm sorry, did they change the way that the chats are displayed now? That looks different. Is that?
Oh, yeah, with the little picture looks bigger. Like,
is that me? Is that me? Is that a me setting? I think it no, is. Oh, I it mean, is. It is. It's
oh, look at that. Setting. Look at you. Look at that.
That's another
is one. That me? Is that a me setting?
I miss Mao and Chris Brooks in the U.S. You know what? I'm missing Mao and Chris Brooks in the U.S. as well. But like, I know GCW is going over to Corican, and they're going to do some stuff with DDT this time when they're over there instead of Freedoms. Moving on up to DDT in the wrestling world now. So I'd imagine you see at least some Chris Brooks and Mal on those shows.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So I know you were talking about getting out to West Coast Pro and, you know, doing a lot of traveling for AEW, went to Vegas. How was Vegas? Did you lose any money in the casino?
No, I'm at the old age of like $20 and that's it, you guys. I'm done here. So I played my little $20 and I was done here because like I can't afford this. I got rent to do. Rent's due.
That's smart. Oh, well, why pay rent when you can buy a replica title belt, though?
I mean, you know, that is tempting. You know, walking past a replica belt, you're like, I could pay rent or spend half of this on a belt.
I loved your tweet about seeing the guy who is definitely not future you at a show.
I'm still not totally convinced, Mike. Like, looking over and seeing a black old man with belts and the back of his jersey says Big Reg on him, like, wait a second. I'm Big Reg. I think if that's not me, we have to fight for that jersey. I don't want the belts. I want the jersey.
Did he have dreads or did he cut them? Did he cut them off later?
He was done with the dreads. He had just a hat on. So I'm definitely going to be at that stage at that point.
Yeah.
So it checks out. That part checks out. But it was a Raiders jersey also, and that part does not check out.
That's kind of weird. Well, yeah, at least they were in Oakland at one point.
Yeah, no. They sold us out. There's no coming back.
No. Are they?
I don't really watch football either, but still, double fuck them, you know?
Yeah. The way football teams move around is something so strange to me. But anyway, we're a wrestling podcast. I did some wrestle things last week.
I want to hear about this.
I did. I went to Crossbody Pro Wrestling on Friday.
Shout out to Crossbody, our friends of the show.
Their final, they had their final taping for Uproar. Tonight, actually, 7 p.m., Crossbody Pro Wrestling Academy on YouTube.
Right after this.
Yep. When Indeed's over, you know, go watch Crossbody Pro Wrestling Uproar. Both episodes taped on Friday, and then episode one will be tonight, and the last, you know, the final episode period will be next Wednesday.
Okay.
Great show. On both, all right, like, well, so it's always weird for me talking about going there and then being like, well, so it's good, both tapings are great, but like the full show was awesome. I did live commentary on their live stream. It was like
really
a surprise live stream, so I did live commentary for the first time. It was daunting.
Okay. How much did you know going in? Like, did you know which wrestlers you were gonna? Because when I did it at UGWA, he was like, I know you know like Alpha Zoe, so I'll put you in Alpha Zoe's match. Was it kind of like, we know you know this person? Let's put you in this match.
I did the full card. So,
oh, you did the whole thing.
I did the full card alone.
You said solo?
Alone, yes.
Wait, hold on. Run it. Stop. The first time you ever did live commentary.
Yes.
Was this show.
Yes.
And you did the whole thing.
Yes.
Joey Styles style, one person.
Not nearly as good, but yes.
Well, I mean. What, brother?
Yes. Look, I'm... You know what? I have no complaints. I'm a big fan of Trial by Fire.
Me too. So it's wrestling, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know pretty much everyone on that card pretty well anyway.
Yeah, totally.
I watch enough of them.
Talk about crossbody all the time. Like, it makes sense.
I go there almost every show. Like, I'm there for at least, I'd say, you know, 40 to 50% of the shows consistently, you know. Now that my back's better, it'll probably be a lot more anyway.
Totally.
But I go there as often as humanly possible. I watch it always, you know, whether live or on replay. So I know
we promoted almost like every show when they have after us. We're like, watch Crossbody. Like, it's connected to Indeed at this point.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's like it's a part of the family here. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, which is part of the reason I actually like going there so much is their community. Like, you know, just talent, crew, and like regular fans is like one of the nicest, like just tightest, most welcoming communities that I've come across.
It's just like me at West Coast Pro, same thing, same exact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how I feel. That's how I feel at Crossbody. That's how I feel at C4. That's how I feel at Pro Wrestling Ontario, where I went on Saturday night as well. But like, you know, I feel that a lot around the promotions here, but when I'm there, I just have such a good time, and I know everyone. You know, I watch enough of their wrestling, so it's pretty easy for me to like.
You're filled in. You didn't have to be like, "What's happening? Fill me in on everything." You're like, "No, I got this."
Oh, I still spent like 4 hours the day before going through every single person on the card. I went through on Cage Match, just tried to like pick out any notable shit that I could make note of.
Man,
I tried
preparing. I would have went in there like, "Let's do it, brother." I don't know. No wrestlers. We're doing this Raw Monday night.
I knew I was doing a full show, so like I didn't want to like just shit the bed super hard, and so I wanted to have something to help me. So I was like, let's make some notes here. So I did. It was good, you know, because I ended up like being able to, you know, call some people's moves like what they call their moves, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like. In terms of how I like my performance, it was terrible to like, it was like terrible, probably right up until intermission.
Mm-hmm.
And then I maybe crawled my way to like acceptably shitty by the end of the show.
Oh, great.
Which again, like,
I've heard people be acceptably shitty and they've done 100 shows. So I'm
like, I had no expectations of sitting down and being like, oh, this will be easy and I'm going to be fucking great at it, because I've heard enough bad commentary to know that like
it's not easy.
It's not just something that people will sit down and be good at.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no expectation of being like remotely good. But at least like at least now, if, you know, should somebody actually be willing to let me do that again?
Mm-hmm. Next time you got to text me, dude, because I got to be in remote to help you. Like,
oh, man.
Remote in and be like, yo, it's Righteous Reg. I'm here, too. Here he goes with the big slam. That's my commentator voice.
I don't know how that would have worked on our feed, like on the feed we were working with. Mm-hmm. But someone should really just get just like, if you see Reg and I at your show together, just
grab us and sit
just give us a match and see what happens. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If
you came for an UGWA show, we could definitely do it there. You'd have to come to San Jose, though. I don't really.
No. not big on San Jose.
Oh, no. They do shows in San Francisco, too. That works. You could come to San Francisco. That's cool.
All right. Your last name on Twitter is 2 on the nose. Change it. Also, if you agree with Aaron's booking, I'm going to fight the entire board in 100. What do you mean it's too on the nose?
Mike, your real last name, that's just too much. No,
it's too that's much. That's not my real last name still, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Kayfabe, brother.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I'm like, kayfabe, brother, wow. Come on, you ruined it that fast.
Mike. No, you know what's really funny? I'm already going to retcon it because of the amount of people that are like, you're Mike from Indeed. Fuck off.
Like, that's who you are, though. Like, I don't know what
you're I'm like, okay.
I was we all like, know the deal.
Oh, because of LeBlanc. What? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Okay.
Points are being made.
Yeah, points are being made.
And Van Twinblade would be the one to make the points, too.
Would be.
You're going to change it right now? I thought he was going in right now, live change him up.
I did.
I think you're liking it with that.
I did.
Oh, he went from live change him up.
I did. This is back to Mike Indeed.
So you weren't Mike Indeed when you did commentary?
I was Mike LeBlanc when I did commentary. I said my name one time at the beginning of the broadcast, never mentioned it again. And I think if I did say my name again on the broadcast, I probably said Mike from Indeed.
I'm like, you. That's why you didn't get the good juju, because you got to be like, this is Mike from Indeed, brother. What's up? Then people are prepared. They know who it is, because they're like, who the fuck is Mike LeBlanc?
Yeah, true. You know what? Yeah. At this point, it's safe to say I should probably accept that I'm permanently attached to this show specifically.
That'd be like I came on here and I'm like, actually, it's Reginald Gaines. They'd be like, bro, who?
What?
You know, like, who's that?
Yeah, who is that? That's who.
I just made that name up.
Yeah, not exactly.
Me. Not me at all. Cut that, Mike, the producer.
I can't. We're live, dude. You fucked up.
I thought you had magic, dude. Like, you're calling full shows by yourself. I'm like, you can do it all.
No. No, I could barely do that.
That's insane preparation. Like, dude, you're calling it by yourself. No friends. Yeah, get out there.
Like, again, you know, part of me is like, that's terrifying. But that's
scary.
Part of me was like, you know, this is,
but also it's
this is the best way of finding out whether or not I like doing this or not.
Totally. Hop in there.
I still would do it again, even though like anyone who watched that would probably advise me not to.
I need somebody who watched it to be like, yo, what was going on? Who was that guy?
So the problem for me is that, like, the only three people who have said anything to me about it were people who are, I consider them friends.
Yeah.
And they worked on the show.
Okay.
So I'm like, are you just being nice?
Yeah, that could be blowing smoke up your butt.
Like, they could be, you know? I was like,
look, but also not wrestling, though. We'll be like, that shit was trash, yeah, bro. I can't believe that.
That's the thing, too, right? Because, like, you know, I was like, look, if it was shit, tell me it was shit. And they're like, no, mm-hmm. you weren't bad. And I was like, I don't know. Me?
You weren't bad, yeah.
Okay, you know what? Hey, yeah. Look, that's better. That's more, that's like a compliment.
Because I feel like most people would be like, that was shit. Like, if it was shit, they'd be like, yo, nice try. See you never.
Yeah, so like you know, like one person was like, you know, you know all the names of moves, which is cool. Yeah. So not a lot of people do that.
That's true.
So it's like, all right, cool. Well, that's good, I guess. I mean,
it's good to know all that wrestling you watch. Some of it is absorbed in your brain. You know, like it's not just in one ear and out the other.
Right.
That's good. That's good to know. Just for like human side of us, you know, like oh no, some information still stays in there. That's cool.
That's the problem with me is like I'm painfully aware of like how many names of wrestling moves I know.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what did I forget to learn all of this?
Or like, when I start to think about that, I'm like, damn, what did I not keep in? Because I remember where SummerSlam '98 was and shit.
Yeah,
like,
what did I train in or what did I trade in my brain to be like
something good,
you know?
I know I sacrificed something good for this shit, but you know, it's worth it.
Absolutely. No, I remember that shit too. That's the problem.
Yeah, no, that's mine, Van Twinblade. Math, I'm horrible. Like, it was like math or wrestling, and I'm like, yo, Hogan, what's up, brother?
Yo, math and wrestling are like the two things that I probably, you know, like, you're like, why do you know that? You know?
That's why they had you there on commentary. It's like, this fool knows math. He'll figure it out. He'll do some equations in the air. It'll be fine. It was fine.
It was, you know, it was fine. Honestly,
if it was terrible, they would have stopped you during the show. Our intermission, like, yeah, we're gonna go in a different route, dude.
Yeah, they would have been like, in fact, you know what? Just crowd sound.
Yeah, you're chill. Just sit right there. Actually, like, we don't need you to sit where you were sitting previously.
Yeah, exactly. Saturday though, I went to Pro Wrestling Ontario, and that was awesome.
Okay, what was on this show?
All right, hang on. I gotta pull this one up. Oh, Auntie Collins.
Yes.
I remember too many wrestling things compared to other life skills, right?
Life skills.
Right? Well, I can't.
Are those a thing? I thought it's just all wrestling in my brain.
Look, I can't tell you like how to do taxes, but mm-hmm. I could totally tell you about Effie and Mansoor's feud. Yep. I could list you like my favorite 10 homicide matches.
Yes, you know? Sick, dude.
But yeah, no. But like, no, I don't ask me for financial advice.
No, do not. 0%. But like wrestling, you want to talk independent wrestling? We're there.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm there.
I'm gonna pull up this Pro Wrestling Ontario card because I'm an idiot. I should know it. I was there. I filmed like every match, mm-hmm. start to finish, from a nice balcony seat. So mm-hmm. that was cool.
Been busy, dude.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, no, that mm-hmm. was that's my the Germania Club in Hamilton, Ontario, best wrestling venue I have been to in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I wish every wrestling show was there.
The Germania Club.
Yeah, it's a. Mm-hmm. It's like the German club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got a stage, they serve, you know, sausages and good food.
Mm-hmm.
But the main event on this show was Johnny DeLuca defending the Pro Wrestling Ontario Openweight Championship against Tarek, Alessandro Del Bruno, and Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander, you know, famously took all of May, all the way up to June off of independent bookings.
Yeah, what was going on there? I was very confused because I thought the Shelton Benjamin match was happening. I was like, oh,
well, so Josh Alexander. Yeah, he took time off from independent bookings. And then, so this show happened to be on June 1st, though. So, like, he was there for it. Fucking great match. Side story, which I did tweet about, but I made the mistake. So after his mm-hmm. match, he went and did merch immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, after like he was gone, a bunch of people had left. I was, you know, just hanging around, talking to some friends, smoking some legal Canadian marijuana. Totally. And went and took a seat down to talk to Myung J. Lee, who mm-hmm. Happened to have been across the table aisle at merch from Josh Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Sat in Josh Alexander's chair, didn't think anything of it.
Wow.
Got up 5 minutes later, and this chair had a it had a cushion with like a fabric covering on it.
Mm-hmm.
And since he went immediately to merch after his match and sat in that chair in his gear,
oh yeah,
that whole cushion just became mm-hmm. like a Josh Alexander sweat sponge.
Ooh.
And I gave myself secondhand Josh Alexander swamp ass.
Oh, from God.
So, like, I was like, I got to go home now.
That was the main event, though, so it worked
out. That was the main event, so it was, like, the end of the night, but it was like, I have to go home now. I need to change my clothes and take a shower.
He hadn't sweated like that in a month and a half, dude.
At least
this built up sweat.
Hey, at least his gear was probably the cleanest it's been in a minute. So.
That's true. The points are made. See, there's something on the other side. Like,
yeah,
he hadn't been wrestling, so like, this probably was new clean gear, but still pretty gross, man.
I swam past myself with Josh Alexander's merch chair.
What's your most insane wrestling story? Me and Josh Alexander exchanged swamp ass.
Like, that's got to be it, right?
100%.
Right? Like, nothing is going to suddenly match, top, surpass. It's going to take a lot.
Nothing that's, like, weird as that. You know what I mean? Like, there's some fun, cool stuff, but that one's just like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot to fucking surpass this one. As far as weird shit that
I honestly didn't know that was a thing.
It is. Be careful where you sit. You know? If you
I usually get out of there when the show's over for reasons like this, like sweaty wrestlers. Like sometimes my friends want to hug me, and I'm like, dude, you just had a match.
Oh, I don't care. Like I'll hug a friend after they have a match. I do it all the time, but I don't like that. It doesn't.
It don't stay with you, though.
It doesn't really stay on you. It might be like a droplet or two. This was like I sat in that chair for like 10 minutes, not realizing what was happening. And then once I stood up, and I was like, my pants didn't come off of my ass.
Oh.
I was like, oh no. Oh,
no.
And I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, that's a great wrestler to be trained. Like maybe you'll get some of those juices. That's disgusting. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like some super power. Now all of a sudden you're this badass wrestler. And you're like, how did I become this great wrestler? Like, I sat in Josh Alexander's.
At the very least. Like at the very least, I should be able to throw on a pretty solid ankle lock now, right? Like
you just discover this new thing, like, oh, you just have to sit in a great wrestler swamp ass and you become them. Like, Brian Danielson, please come and sit in this chair and
I believe the term is osmosis.
This is why we have to have guests, because we get to osmosis. There you go.
I don't know. Maybe this is a sign that sometimes we should just not have guests.
We should. I'm having the best time. Oh my God. Osmosis. That's insane.
This is definitely a Twitter clip, right? Yeah.
Like... That's insane, dude. Holy shit. But what was on the rest of this card? That's osmosis stuck in my brain.
Yeah, so that was good. I saw my homie Travis Moore wrestling Young Jay Lee. That was fun.
Oh, sick. Young Jay is just killing it out there and on the Canadian scene, huh?
Oh, excellent. Yeah. He wrestled Jordan Oliver at Crossbody the day before.
Oh, that's right.
The week before that, the week before that, I went to C4,
mm-hmm.
like a week before Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Went to C4. I saw actually Myung Jae and Jordan Oliver wrestle each other in a four-way match there with Jody Threat and Stu Grayson.
Oh.
So that was like, that was a great match. And
that's a wild lineup, too.
It was a great four-way and mm-hmm. Like really fun match. And Myung Jae pinned Jordan Oliver in that four-way.
Mm-hmm.
So then they wrestled each other the week after at Crossbody. And, you know, it was cool because I was on commentary. So I got to actually reference that, which was something nice to bring up, but it was really
Jordan won a championship, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah,
he did. Not from Young Jay Lee, but from, it'll kind of play out as you watch Uproar. So but if you've seen on Twitter, Jordan did find his way into winning the Crossbody Pro Wrestling Championships. So.
Sorry for that spoiler alert, you guys.
Celebrate
the homie.
Oh no, it's been all over Twitter anyway. So okay. Like, you know, go ahead and watch all the more reason to watch Uproar if you want.
All the reason to watch
what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Also, him and Myung Jae Lee. Also, on the episode that's airing tonight, Isaiah Prince, who is a very talented Buffalo wrestler that is on the come up. He's a monster.
Isaiah Prince.
Mm-hmm. He is a big, meaty man.
Mm.
And he wrestled one of Shane Hawk's students from the IWS dojo, Dante Dubois, who is also a
big, meaty man.
Big, meaty man. Mm-hmm. And they both have some frying pan hands, and they scrambled each other's chest eggs.
Gross.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Those hoss fights, they're like, really starting to become a phenom, and we need more.
So, like, I didn't know what to expect from the two of them,
because, mm-hmm.
like, I didn't know what way they were going to go. Like, they, you know, they both got pretty, they're both talented dudes who can go a lot of directions in a match. They've, you know, they work with all sorts of sizes of opponents, and they just decided, no, we're going to fucking kill each other. Like, for the amount of time that we've been given for the match, from start to finish, we're just going to kill each other. And they did. They just killed each other.
It's needed sometimes in these wrestling cards.
It was, like, uncomfortable in, like, a good way. Where, like, you hear those first couple of chops and you're like,
this is what we're doing.
And then they just keep going. And then, like, There's one there at one point, like one of them's on the apron, like draped over, like, you know, with their back to the ring, and the other guy's just raining clubbing blows down on it. And then they just flip it around the other way, and the dude on the like whoever was on the apron was just it's one of the most enjoyable like just big dude battles. I've thought about it once a day since I saw the match, just like I can't wait to see the replay, and it's on tonight's episode, so I'm really stoked.
Sick. But
all of it was so good. Like, Kristara is the crossbody women's champion, so she's
so are they going to put different commentary on this thing? It's not going to be you on the.
It's not going to be me. Speedball and Veda have, you know, they are the commentators for Uproar. I was basically just there so the live viewers had something to hear besides the show, and they probably should have just heard the show.
Like, is there an option to switch this guy off?
Yeah, can you shut this man up?
That should be an option. Not in this case. Like, shout out to my friend Mike for doing that. But you should have an option in all wrestling to turn these motherfuckers off.
Oh, if there was like a commentary volume in addition to the show volume, like if I could like adjust the balance of what I want to hear. The first wrestling company to make that happen, you're going to get my subscription service money immediately.
Yeah, I remember when the Samoa Joe versus Kenta Kobashi ROH match happened. They were like, we're putting the option in the DVD where you can have it without commentary because you have to hear the crowd. And the one without commentary is so much better. So, like, why doesn't everybody do that?
It's the best.
Not for all shows. Some people need it. But then sometimes some moments are like, I just want to hear this crowd.
Like, if I could, honestly, if I could watch, like, Danielson versus Ospreay with no commentary, I think that would be phenomenal.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. In certain situations, not every single match, every single promotion, but like when the crowd's molten for like a match like that, just hearing them, hearing the strikes, hearing everything like that makes it a lot doper. I think they should try it.
Especially in like a really like a smaller room or but also like a big arena too, like depending, like some of those Wrestle Kingdoms, like sans commentary would have been
or saying. You know, it's an idea, somebody. Execute it.
At the very least, I'm glad New Japan gives me the option to like hear the Japanese commentary, not Kevin Kelly. So
totally. Cool. I was just talking to somebody how I sometimes listen to the Japanese commentary, and I was like, it's a lot better in some promotions.
Understanding
what they're saying, it's still like you can feel the emotions, you can feel the cadence, you can feel everything about it. It's great.
That's what it is that kind of reels me in with it, is like couldn't tell you what they're saying, but I feel the emotion in the commentary more than I do like with the English commentators a lot.
Totally.
So that's what I did. No, you did. We also watched there was some fucking crazy wrestling on the weekend. There was at GCW had, you know, Tournament of Survival on Saturday, Cage of Survival on Sunday, JCW After Hours, you know, I was at shows. You were watching some of this, I know.
Yep, I watched the Cage of Survival in full, and I was very impressed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Effie finally conquered Mance Warner.
Yes.
Although Mance Warner still found a way to.
It's a bittersweet moment because this is who I wanted to become, the next GCW world champion. But like Effie got the big win, but then like his arch nemesis also got a big win. So I don't know. But yeah, I thought the match was incredible. Like, they've been building. I love everything about how they built this independent wrestling feud. They had stare downs, face offs, contract signings, all kind of backstage stuff attached to this. And then when they got to the match, it was violence, just like everything you would think would be involved in a Cage of Survival match. The cage is down, there's barbed wire, fire, there's fucking glass, tables,
glass, tons of glass,
doors, it's all kind of stuff going on. It's it was excessive, but in a good way, I think, because this feud, they're like, this is the last time. This is the last thing we're going to do. We've been building this for a long time. We both said we're going to kill each other. I have to try to kill this person. And they both tried to kill each other plenty of times in this match. Very scary moments.
Yeah. And it's honestly, like, I had to do some looking back on, you know, this feud retrospectively. Yeah. You know, this all started back in December.
Mm.
when like in LA, like Vance and Effie lost to South Pacific Savages. And this has been something that's literally played out for, you know, 6 months now.
Yeah, it's an intense 6 months too. Like they've been like going like after each other, bloodthirsty.
Multiple matches with each other. You know, Mance has also fucked up every single one of Effie's like close friends along the way. It's been you know, a lot.
Try to set Sheik and Catch on fire, like all kind of crazy shit.
Yep, great. And then you know their match is escalating too between like. You know, first they just had a, you know, they wrestled each other in a singles match. Then Mance wrestled Ali in a bull rope match. They had he had a street fight with Manders, strap match with Effie, a last man standing match with Effie. Then like finally it's like you get all the way to Cage of Survival and everything like builds up in a very uncomfortably violent progression.
Right.
Where like these matches, they, you know, they were all bloody and violent, but like. Mm-hmm. The level of like sadism and violence within it like amplified as the matches progressed in
right, because it's like how do you top this? How do you continuously top what we just did in this last, what we did in the bull rope match, what we did in the last man standing match? We have to be insane. And kudos to GCW Ring Crew for their structures that they built. I was at the show, the clusterfuck, when they built the Punjabi prison, and I saw them take it down in like 10 minutes or something really fast. Like they do an amazing work. And for that, sometimes I'm like, is this gonna fall over? Like there's people right behind this cage, Mike.
Yep. No, their construction, like their construction for everything is awesome. Like that's you it's know crazy. A lot of
shout
like,
out to Big Vin.
Yeah, Big Vin. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the building and shit, it's just, it's continually impressive how like they amplify the stakes in a lot of their shows.
Yeah,
actually with, you know, the just the contraptions and props and shit that they build.
There are a lot of stakes. It's like the wrestlers have matches. They're putting their lives on the line, but the ring crew has to be in so many places so quickly. They're like, all right, clean out the ring in 30 seconds. And there's glass and blood and hair and all kinds of crazy shit in there.
I especially liked, you know, probably some, you know, something in the Cage of Survival match was like the ring crew being by the door and then like whatever they needed, they just like Effie walk over to the like door to the cage and be like, I need two plates of glass and a door.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, just sliding it into, it's like, the most violent hardware store.
Totally. It is like ordering weapons in an RPG game. Like, yeah, I'll take a bat and I'll take some glass and then set up a structure for me to set on fire to kill this person. Again, shout out to them for being so on hands with that and getting us to get to those spots that Effie and Mance are in. But yeah, beyond the craziness, it was just like I know Mance wanted to have this match, the style of wrestling that he likes, just like an old school Southern, two people beating the shit out of each other. A lot of punches that seem like, whoa, are you guys friends or not? And like making it seem as real as possible. We're both going to be bloody as hell. But then you guys, this is GCW. So we have to have the craziest shit you would ever seen. You have to get, like you said, you have to get uncomfortable with stuff that goes on where it's like, maybe you shouldn't have did that, but you did it anyways.
Honestly, like, so we saw it in the intro video, but like Effie tackling Mance through the cage into the barbed wire spider web was fucking crazy.
And they're then, both, they go like, down like this.
But then like immediately after that, though, it was the part that like extra was like, whoa, that's fucked up, was they get out of the spider web, but then Effie pile drives him in the spider web. I was like,
after everybody got him out, like there's like, the people trying to get him out, there's horror in one like person's face because Effie's stuck, and then he gets out and then he pile drives him, and then he tries to walk into the ring and he like slips and he like falls into the barbed wire again, and people are just like, please just get out safely.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Also, like Tournament of Survival the day before, I don't know if you caught any of that. If you didn't, definitely watch it. Brandon Kirk should just be in all the death matches, always. He's insane. Like, not everything feels like, I don't know, watching him, like, I just have fun watching him, like, do a death match. I get like so fucking into it.
When
Katsumata, like, that was another one in the intro video, when Katsumata hit him with that dive off the top rope, and he had like the tubes on his stomach, and he was laying on all these buckets and shit. He kicked out of that at one, and like Tony D posted a video of like just his raw camera footage without like music or anything, just like of a bunch of the shit from that. And like the last like minute or two of that match, from the time that he kicks out at one and then he gets hit with something else, kicks out again, and then sets up the psycho driver and hits Katsumata with that big like psycho driver that was in the intro as well. And you know, like, wins the match with that, like, that whole, like, the energy of that room in the last like couple minute stretch is like that's the shit I love at wrestling shows. And I feel like independent wrestling delivers it in a way that like big produced wrestling shows just can't.
You can't. It's organic. It does. It's not forced. It's like, you can't predict what's going to happen. Like, you can do, we're going to do this crazy spot, and they can react a couple of different ways. They can react in excitement and fear and horror, and there's going to be all these different, but you can't predict exactly which one. And I think American TV wrestling tries to do that. Like, well, we have to get them to this one emotion because that's what's going to make money. And it's like, that's not how wrestling works. But I mean, I guess that is how it works in your world. I don't know.
I feel like that's why a lot of the wrestlers I've been gravitating to lately are really reactive to, like, you know, what people say, like heckle, you know, like hecklers and happenstance and some of the random, you know, the random shit that occurs, as you know, in the course of a match that, you know, wasn't on the list of things you were expecting.
It's those small rooms where you can hear exactly when a fan heckles. Sometimes it's excessive and sometimes it can get crazy. But like when a wrestler can channel exactly that heckle or whatever into character work with their wrestling, I think it's awesome.
Improvisation is like, that's something that I've started to like really appreciate so much more lately. It's kind of
Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, originator, none greater. Not the originator, but that's who, like, my indie god of, like, that shit was like, oh, Kevin Owens was going to hear somebody way back there that you didn't hear and react to him, and it's going to be the funniest thing ever. Thing that I love kind of about this tournament and that kind of amazes me is that they're still innovating. Brought up Brandon Kirk, like, there's young guys like him that are still innovating. Like, how do you hit somebody with the light tube? And we've done tournament, like, every show somebody's getting hit with a light tube. How do you innovate it? And they're still finding ways to hit people with light tubes and put people through light tubes.
And I think, like, you know, it's that's where like being a wrestler comes into like the deathmatch wrestling, where it's like, you know, you have a lot of people who will complain about it and be like, oh, it's just violent, you know, it's just like a, you know, gore fiesta, but it's not. To like to get to be able to, you know, to be able to, you know, still make it make sense. Is that's, you know, it's like, it's wrestling. It's very much wrestling. It's just extremely violent wrestling. You know,
it's insane. It's a horror movie. It's a wrestling horror movie, honestly.
Damn right, Ant Collins. Joey Janela does do a great job at that.
He does. He does.
You know, he's really good at that. Actually, speaking of like deathmatch tournaments and wrestlers and stuff, John Wayne Murdoch, you know, won Tournament of Survival.
He did.
I'm personally quite excited because he's also making his Canadian debut in July in my hometown.
Sick.
There's a no ring show. He'll be here. I know who's coming up with him, but I don't know if they're announced, so I don't think I can say it, but I'm really fucking like, I'm stoked because again, I get to see another Canadian debut, which has been something I've been kind of like,
been seeing a lot of them.
I've been seeing a few of them now, and it makes me happy.
Yeah, it's like, awesome. Right place, right time. It feels like a lot of things. The thing that I liked about this John Wayne Murdoch finish is might be my favorite kind of rollover crucifix style that I've ever seen, because all the winners level he legit did that to survive. Like, he barely survived. It was like on brand of him. Yeah. Like, I got one last attempt to not die, is like, I got to get this three. And he got the three and he ran out of the ring. And I think it just added on to the theme of the whole show.
TOS was, it was one of my favorite ones. Like, the last 2 years now, mm-hmm. with, you know, Rina Yamashita winning last year, John Wayne Murdoch winning this year. It's really, it feels like both years have been like steps forward in
changing the guard, you know, type thing.
And just like for deathmatch wrestling in terms mm-hmm. of like, you know, how it's presented and the scale at which, you know, like those have been huge, huge events both years. Yeah. And then Cage of Survival the day after too. It's like, you know, how do you do this crazy deathmatch tournament on one day and then also still have like, be able to have, you know, a super ultra violent cage match. And there was a bunch of other death matches on Sunday too. Like, yeah, just why not? Well, you have all those folks up there.
These people love death match. Let's give them 2 days of crazy ass death match.
Yeah.
And they love death match. Like you said, when they kicked that kick out, and just in general of like the way that the crowd ups the ante, like, okay, you hit him with the chair. Now hit him with the stop sign. Oh, you hit him with the stop sign. Now hit him with the table. Oh, you hit him with the table. Now hit him with barbed wire. You know what I mean? It's like the wrestler wants to abide by all the fans. And it's like, it always ends with set him on fire. And I'm like, you guys, we got to like one day set some ground, set the precedence of like, we can't kill people.
But here's the problem now is, you know, like, and I know we're an indie wrestling show, but like, a man got flamethrowered at a pay-per-view a couple of weeks ago. So like,
bad example. It's a bad example. They're setting a bad example of like, where's the line? Where should be the line? I think for like, the children, where's the line should be? Probably setting people on fire just so like, that's not in anyone's brain. Somebody watched their favorite wrestler in the world, Darby Allin, set their least favorite wrestler, Jack Perry, on fire. You know, like, it looked cool, but I'm like, did we really think about this? That's crazy.
I don't know. Yeah, look, I don't know. I don't know who these people who Jack Perry's their least favorite wrestler are. Personally, me, we're jacking it over here. Okay?
We're jacking it. Yeah,
we're jacking it. We're Jack mm-hmm. Perry supporters.
Mm-hmm.
D'Lo Diggs popping in to say what's up to the bros and playing.
What's up, D'Lo?
Love you. Thank you for dropping by. Thank you for the chat. And yeah, enjoy the show. We Asmosis.
Asmosis is insane. I can't believe that.
Asmosis.
We're so dead. They're like, you guys can't do that again. Have guests every time.
Yeah. If there's one thing to take away from this week's episode, I made up a dumb word.
Yeah, you did. And you did a nasty thing. So kudos to you.
I didn't mean to.
Swamp ass exchanges. Like, I didn't mean this was a thing. Like, you set a new bar. Like, that's crazy. Like, now that I'm going to be thinking of that. Like, I never in my life want that to happen. So I'm going to be thinking that in all situations. I'm going to look at every seat I ever sit in for the rest of my life. Because, like, somebody could have sat down here with Swamp ass.
What kind of material is this chair? What's this upholstered with? Oh, leather? Ooh. Okay, we're probably okay.
You ruined my life, Mike. Thanks for this.
Look, I'm bound to do it to everyone that comes in contact with me.
That's true. That's true. Just kidding. Yeah, but the GCW, you know what's insane? During the GCW show, this is a regular occurrence, but they put up like their touring schedule and like the amount of dates that they have, and they're like, they're an independent wrestling promotion.
Like they're coming up here to Canada.
Exactly. They're going
to Japan again.
They're in Japan, Oregon Hall, no less.
Like
Mexico, they're in Canada, they're in LA all the time. They're always on the East Coast. They're premiering in new markets all the time. And like, this is an independent wrestling promotion. And people try to talk about their demise. Mike, there's no demise, dude. That schedule and those shows be fucking lit all over the country. Like, this is, we should be celebrating this. I know GCW has some things and people fucking have their things of what's connected, what Brett does, blah blah blah, but as a wrestling independent wrestling company, they're fucking doing it as fuck.
Yeah, it's like you know, again, there's so much to look at with them where you're just like, I don't know how you managed to do this, but it's fucking insane. Because
Bloodsport Japan, Van Twin Blaze said, like,
yeah, Bloodsport Japan, you know, just like those kind of partnerships in general, TJPW, DDT, deathmatch promotions in Japan. This year, instead of, in the past, they've had Freedom's partnerships for deathmatch stuff. This year they had the Big Japan deathmatch champion over. Yep. Like, it's pretty crazy. Also, fucking Shayna Baszler on Bloodsport this year,
dude.
Like,
and they keep announcing like they're gonna have the homie that was Reggie in WWE facing Myron Reed.
Oh yes,
like, they keep announcing cool things like you're gonna get a match like that in GCW. They're the true. There's been a gazillion the true successor to ECW. They just are like a bunch of like. They say PWG was, but like PWG was in one place. We had 90% of the shows in one venue. ROH, the true successor is fucking this place, because like eventually ECW was going to end up doing as much deathmatch wrestling as is presented in a show like this. Like that's where the future of ECW was landing anyways. And I think that they're doing what that represents, which is crazy.
Yeah, between the variety of styles on the card, the variety of talent on the card, the
Lucha. Variety of
places they bring the shows to, it's the parallels are very very much there. If you if you modern dayed 1996 to 2024, I don't know how else it would look different than GCW. It's pretty it's pretty spot on.
Exactly.
In terms of evolution, we've been going for about an hour though. It's 7 o'clock. Crossbody Pro Wrestling is on right
now. Get to that.
You should go watch that. Mm-hmm. But before you watch that, here's where you can find us this week. Reg, go ahead.
I'll be in my regular venues tonight. I'm on with Denise, the AEW Dynamite post show. You know how those goes. That should be fun. And then last week was Ask Grapsity, so it's just regular Grapsity this week with my boy Philip Lindsay.
Hey.
We'll be talking some wrestling.
Let's go.
Anything else? No, that's it.
Hey, all right. Yeah. Late week. Let's go.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I have like nothing planned. I don't think there's shows this week. I was going to try to get out to Brantford to Pretty Ricky's show. I don't think I can get a ride, so I probably won't be there. I don't know. If you see me around, say hi.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just going to play video games and watch wrestling.
His feet before he sits down.
Yeah, well, except for my chair. My chair is safe. Every other chair.
Yeah, I think it's safe. Your dog doesn't sometimes hop up there and.
No. Oh, okay. My dog's way too big for my computer chair. I got a fucking 80-pound German Shepherd.
Ooh, that is a big dog. Yeah, big dog.
Yeah, just my big cute baby girl. I love her. You know what? I'm gonna go pet my dog. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday. Might have a guest. We might not. We'll figure it out. Bye!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This summer, discover American Giant's timeless, high-quality clothing made right here in the USA. Every piece is designed for quality and style that's built to last. From vintage-style tees to tough tank tops, breathable polos to lightweight sweatshirts, you can find your perfect fit. Celebrate American craftsmanship and support local communities with every stitch. Go to American-Giant.com and use promo code STAPLE20 for 20% off your first order.